The NSA is recording. The FBI is recording.
They've been recording.
Yeah. So we just got one more person recording at this point.
You know that your phone is listening to you, that your computer is tracking you, or at least has the capability to do that, and you don't care. And that really seems, that bothers me. It's just that, like, you're gonna give them this much power over you and you're not even gonna care about it. And, like, you gotta be mindful at least. And there's certain things you can do to avoid some of it. Like, WikiLeaks published about 5 years ago all this information about the CIA buying from private companies these malwares for Windows, and then they would use it to hack into people's computers and get their files or whatever. And you know that's a possibility, that they can do that to your computer. Why are you still using Windows? And you can say, well, there's no alternatives. Well, Linux is actually a pretty good alternative. I use Linux. Heck, Edward Snowden uses Linux. But I think a lot of people get caught up on, like, they don't know how to, and Windows came on their machine, and so they just use it. But I haven't really found, like, a lot of people say that what I do isn't compatible because I have to run this one Windows program. Well, have Linux in your main operating system, and then dual boot with Windows when you need to, because that's how I got started doing Linux is that method. But now I don't really find the need to even run any Windows programs. And recently we had, I don't remember what intelligence agency it was, but when the Russian pipeline was blown up, they had somebody in the UK send a text on their iPhone saying it's done or something to that effect. And the reason they found that out was because somebody had Apple admin privileges and they could just go check their phone. Like, especially with text messages, like, you guys realize that everything you put in a text message is automatically logged forever. Any law enforcement officer can go back and read it. Phone calls, yeah, it's automatically logged forever, but it's a little bit harder. And so, like, think about the stuff that, like, you know, if you're gonna say something to somebody, I mean, probably using the cell phone isn't the best idea anyway, but if you really want to use your cell phone, a phone call is a little bit more secure than a text message.
Are there any, like, just outside-the-box crazy ways to talk to somebody if you're not in the same area?
Well, I think that goes down to encryption. And and encryption is pretty well proven. Like, the standard everybody uses is called AES, and usually 256-bit AES, and that's what the government uses, at least that's what they say they use. But I'm inclined to believe them because pretty much every mathematician can try and crack it and make $1 million if he succeeds. So, and nobody's been able to. So, I don't really think that they're breaking these encryption methods the way they were in World War II, where they were, like, using supercomputers to break the Nazi encryption. I think the main way they're doing it is they're just getting around it by hacking your phone, so it doesn't matter.
I wonder if you could hack that. I'm just saying, by using just social engineering and working your way either through a company that's doing encrypting or
I do think they do that a lot. Like, there was a popular app called TrueCrypt, and it was, I think it was used by, like, maybe Al-Qaeda or some kind of Islamic extremists. And there was a lot of, like, I guess they had, like, an internal audit of the program to make sure that there was nothing bad in the code. And immediately after the audit, it came clear, and all the developers of the program stepped away from it and said they didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so it was just, like, a really suspicious chain of events, because you'd think after a successful audit, you'd market it more and push it more. But instead, they completely walked away from it as if it's been compromised.
Yeah, it seems like I forget the name of it, but there was a guy that I'll send you a video of about him later, But a lot of what he did, especially in his early days as a hacker, was just social engineering. So he'd call somewhere if he needed something, and he would ask, you know, hey, I'm Fred from this department, and I've been locked out of my admin privileges over here.
Yeah.
Let me talk you through how to, you know, I feel like most of the hacking at this point, especially on encrypted stuff, is done.
How it's done. Like Hillary Clinton's emails were hacked that way. They had somebody in her group responded to one of those emails. It was just a phishing email saying, like, hey, you're out of data on your email. You need to log in to get more data. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Why?
But if you're staffer for an ancient politician, it might.
Yeah. So that's how she got her emails hacked. And I think that happens all the time. I remember my brother, the college he went to, would always be getting those kind of emails in his email thing. And he'd be getting them from people that he actually knew in person, because the way it worked was it hacks your email, copies all your files to whatever remote site, and then it sends the same email to everybody in your contacts. And it was so bad. Like, it was like the most retarded phishing scheme I've ever seen. Like, they took the logo of the university, and then it was just like password. And you were supposed to put in your password after you clicked on this thing. And there were people falling for it. So, yeah.
No matter what you make, so there's always going to be somebody ready to fall for it, I feel like. It's just how many.
Yeah.
I mean, how many grandparents are still giving away their social security number because somebody calls them and tells them that they're going to take away their, you know.
Yeah, I heard the craziest thing. My grandma a few years ago, she got this phone call, and I think I was out of town at the time, and she got this phone call, and it was like, hey, Grandma, it's Martin. I'm in jail, and I need money. My grandma was smart enough to call my parents and be like, hey, Martin called me and said he was in jail. I'm not really sure if it's actually him. And so they called me, and I'm like, no, I'm not in jail. I'm okay.
That's crazy, because, like,
they had to do a little bit of investigation to figure that one out.
How would they have... It would have had been somebody around here for her to even think it was you, because, like...
Well, they used to be spoofing, like, phone numbers a lot. I don't know if you remember. I think they kind of got
that under control. Was it a text?
No, it was a phone call. It was a phone call.
She not immediately go, that doesn't sound like Martin?
Well, I think she kind of did, and that was what made it a little suspicious.
Oh. Yes, this is Martin. I am in jail.
I don't think it was an Indian guy, though. I think...
Well, that's just what you usually imagine. It's like, for emails, the Nigerian scammer, phone calls is the Indian guy.
Yeah, but...
I don't know.
I mean, I think about it. Like, most people in the Midwest kind of sound the same, especially over a phone where they limit so much of the frequencies that...
Uh-huh.
Unless you really know the person, but a lot of grandparents don't have good hearing anyway. So
that's true.
I just feel bad for whatever grandma, like, went and bought a whole bunch of Walmart gift cards after that conversation and mailed them to the guy in prison. At his P.O. box.
This is completely... I saw this random thing, just people clicking on stuff that if you had like a shred of decent smarts, you wouldn't do. But I saw this thing. It was basically like a zip bomb. I don't know if you know what that is. Mm-hmm. But it's a zip file that just has so much data in it that it crashes everything.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do that on this my computer.
This guy... Yeah. Well, this guy made a zip bomb that unextracts to the teeny tiny size of 55.4 yottabytes. For context, a zettabyte is 0.001 of a yottabyte, and as of 2016, internet traffic is 1.1 zettabyte per year.
So I guess he just hacked the zip algorithm to something ridiculous, and that's funny.
Yeah, so when you open it, it just bricks everything forever. Like, there's no...
Well, you could just reboot your computer now, but...
Yeah. But I guess that was probably in 2016 that he made it based on that. But it was just a screenshot I had seen.
That's funny.
But, like, if you had just happened to glance at the file and been like, that seems kind of large,
I don't even know what the abbreviation for that would be. YD?
The thing is, on it, it shows funny.zip 2.60 MB. So somehow it unextracts.
So it was only 2.6 megabytes, but yeah, he must have hacked the way it decompresses into something ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, I can just imagine opening it and being like, oh no.
Man, I clicked on a link the other day, and it was like dark in my house, the kids were asleep, and it just was like this scary clown flashing in like negative and then to color and like this like screeching noise. I hated it.
I was really, when we talked to our last guest and I mentioned that I had joined a group and then I had seen a video of somebody killing themselves and he knew who it was. I thought it was interesting that like that stuff is so widespread on the internet.
Yeah, that's pretty sad, especially considering how many there actually are videos of that stuff.
Yeah. But just by like barely describing it, he's like, oh, it was that one. And I'm like, ah, I guess that's everywhere.
Yeah, it didn't really even seem to faze him a whole lot.
No, I guess you get hardened to it if you're on those kind of sites for a long time.
Yeah, that's another thing to keep yourself safe. Don't be dumb if you don't need be being dumb.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the crazy things about the internet. It's like you're either on these sites that are uber-censored and you can't find any information, or you're on a site where like the next thing you see is some gore video of some Chinese guy getting sucked into a vacuum cleaner for an industrial factory. You know, it's just...
Yeah. I haven't seen that one.
No, I just made that one up. That was a little spoof off the top of my head. If LiveLeaks want to pay me royalties when that happens, I guess they can hit me up.
I know when I was looking at the Guardian Angel video we did... Like, I was, you know, looking for videos of people nearly getting hit by cars. And you get videos of people not so nearly getting hit by cars.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, at some point it's not worth it, but usually the top hits were pretty good. And,
What did you use as a search engine to find that?
I was just Google. I mostly just use Google because it's the best, but that doesn't mean it's like... You're still telling Google and the government and anybody everything that they can about you. So,
yeah, it's like when you see that DuckDuckGo is just selling your information anyway.
Yeah, you're selling my information and giving me subpar results.
Yeah.
I remember when they came out with a different browser based on Chrome that was pretty much just malware, but they were trying to like sell it as faster than Chrome by sending all of the sites through their like server and compressing them and then sending it to you. And that was, I think, before Chrome even started doing that. I've seen Chrome has started doing that on cell phones when you have like low data. You can send it to Google first, they'll compress it and then send it to you. And so you pretty much just made them a middleman, but on a lot of sites they already are the middleman because you clicked on their link. So they know.
Yeah.
I remember when I was like real little. I guess maybe it was the Casey Anthony trial. They narrowed it down to her by looking at everybody who searched how to make chloroform, and there were like 40 people in that area that searched it. And ever since then, I've just kind of like thought, you know, every time you type something in. Who knows?
Did she get away with it?
Yeah. Yeah. But they still found it, so.
Yeah, I'm still certain. I think she did it. She probably just got away because she was pretty, and the jury was just like, oh, pretty people can't do bad stuff.
That's probably why Cardinal Pell in the last video, he got convicted for the first time because he's old in the Cardinal.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I I have several pieces of technology around me that I could probably just do without.
Yeah, I heard some lady, I think it was at church, and she was saying that she was giving up Facebook for Lent. And I'm like, you know, I don't have that problem, but that's probably a good thing to do.
Yeah. I've given up watching YouTube videos, like, while I work. Yeah. While I work. And, or listening to stuff. Because I realized that it was... While I was doing it, I was taking away boredom, and the boredom was what drives me to get stuff done. And so as soon as, like, you remove completely, like, your ability to sit down and watch it, and it's not like I'm sitting down and watching extremely engaging content. A lot of times I'm sitting there watching how to build something or how to, you know, raise a chicken or whatever, but it still takes up time. And the second it's gone, I'll sit there for a minute, and then I'll go, okay, I either need to read a book or start working on something.
Yeah.
And yeah. My productivity went up. And, like, today, I got on a tangent of trying to figure out how to do something, but then that I got off track with it, and next thing you know, I had wasted a couple hours that I shouldn't have.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. Like, if you can... Just because what you're doing isn't necessarily bad, a lot of times it's keeping you from doing something good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, there's so many... I also feel like there's... It's so you gain so much information, so it's this quick dopamine hit, but I don't think it's retained very well, especially when it's coming so quickly and there's always new. Yeah, yeah, but you're also not doom scrolling on Facebook or TikTok, I don't feel like.
Yeah, I never got the Facebook, like, why anybody wants to scroll through Facebook posts.
Yeah. I feel like the algorithm sucks you in, or at least it sucks me in sometimes. You know, you see something and then, oh, well, your cousin got engaged. Oh, somebody from high school did this. Then next thing you know, your old principal is having an affair. And next thing you know, like, you're not even thinking consciously, like, oh, this probably isn't the best to be indulging in, but you're just interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
Is it kind of like when you're driving down the highway and you see a burning car? You gotta go look at it.
Yeah. I guess so. It's like when every I'm at a accident, you're sitting there like, okay, everybody's going slow because everybody's looking at it. So when I get up to it, I'm just gonna drive right past it, stare ahead.
Yeah.
And the first thing you do as soon as you get past that fire truck blocking the other lane is go. You look down the hill and see what's wrapped around the tree down there, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like it's helped me quite a bit. But at the same time, it's also there's a part of me that's like what happened to all that dopamine we used to get right in the morning?
Yeah. Well, I've always been like wanting to know what's happening in the world and like following the news and stuff. And pretty fast I realized you watch mainstream news and you're not going to have any idea except what they want you to think. And so then, like, you can dig really hard on the internet and find the truth, probably. But in the end, how much is that really worth? Because, like, I always tell myself, I'm gonna know, and then it's going to help me prepare. And in the end, like, I'm going to find out, but... Probably it'll be too late for me to do anything if I could have done something.
There might be that one thing, like you hear something happened in New York and you check into it and you really find out that there's, you know, nuclear radiation emanating all over the United States or something just wild where you have enough time and the clouds approaching and you can figure something out. We got to get to here because it's not going to be affected and then the kids won't get sick or something. You know, stuff like that. But that's so few and far between. That's, to be honest, that's one of the problems that I'm having with this show, is that I have so much I have to prepare for and so much that I'm worried about, and just, like, I have, I just don't have my life put together even as well as you or a lot of people, and I'm sitting here trying to build that, and then to take the time, you can't trust a newspaper. It's not like I can say, okay, twice a week, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read through the newspaper, and I'm going to know what's going on.
Yeah, and I tell you, come on every week and have knowledge about such and such, and you're just like,
Yeah, so I'll watch a video or two on it, And then I'll be like, I don't know if that's really right. And so then I'll start digging, and then it'll be like, oh, I said I would go feed cows and do all, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's not like anything I'm doing right now is superfluous, I guess I would say. So I'll try to take time to research something, but then the next thing I know, it's like, well, if I spend 6 hours researching to be like what I feel is prepared, then I've thrown away building 2 chicken coops and getting a,
So what?
But you have to know somebody's got to be watching, or else we're all going to be doomed. If we just go full Amish, and then they would just leave us behind until they show up one day and gas us all, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But like, I don't know. There has to be a line of like how much you actually dig into things, because I don't know. I find myself digging into things that I know for a fact aren't ever going to make a difference in my day to day life.
Yeah. But. Yeah, it's one of those things, like the video I watched, I think it was a 3-hour video on this hacker that had done what they called phone freaking, and it was like the earliest form of hacking, and it just showed the government how the government started interfering with people at the beginning, but they were just people that were trying to make free phone calls on the phone lines.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't he, like, figure out how to get paid doing it? I think he did.
No, I thought that was the guy.
Back when AT&T was Bell's, whatever.
He might have. I think that was somebody else. The guy I know, he went to jail several times, and he got hired by a company, but then they decided to do a background check on him, and they're like, this is the biggest hacker of all time. Which, that, like, was his one time trying to go clean, you know, or straight.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, at the time, he seems pretty honest about what he did and didn't do. And he was getting married. And he found a girl, and he was getting married, and he, like, really wanted to not put her in a bad spot.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It was an interesting video. But, like I said, I went down this whole rabbit hole, and it took probably 3 hours. And then I got to the end, I was like, I don't know what I can use this for, but I guess I can talk about it for a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff. Like, the phone that I've got, the computer and everything just followed me around. And I've got all these different apps. And if you want to use Facebook Marketplace, you got to have your location in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to use, like...
Tinder.
Most of these other apps. I'm not using Tinder, but I have Snapchat, and like I have Snapchat because there's several groups I'm in for what I do for farming, for the rodeo, and stuff, where they have like a group chat where everything's posted.
Yeah.
And it's so convenient that if you're not willing to have it, you just get left out.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how going to public school is, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you're just not in the in crowd, it's not like they hate you or anything. They just aren't going to take the extra effort to text you individually.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty lazy, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how people work. It's
I remember when I was in middle school, they made us make like fake Facebook pages about whatever topic we were talking about in class, and I wasn't even like old enough to accept the terms that Facebook told you to accept. Like, I think you had to be 13 back then. I wasn't even 13. Yeah. And I'd never even seen a Facebook, and I'm like, what color is a Facebook page? I think I made it green. It's like, it's green, right?
I think I don't know for a fact, but I think I started my Facebook when I was 12 or so, which was definitely, it was, or maybe even sooner, before you could have like,
I think
one.
They like raised it to 14 right about when I turned 14.
Yeah. I just remember that I needed one for something, so I made one, but like I basically had to lie about my age on it.
Yeah.
And then at some point Facebook they just knew, cuz they were like, "Hey, would you I was 17 or 18 and it said I was 20. And they're like, "Would you like to revise your age?" I was like, "I guess I will."
Yeah, it's kind of like how Target, isn't Target known for like finding out a woman's pregnant before she does?
Yeah, their algorithm is so good that they know before.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, the little things that they could... But also, at what point is that going to go from, well, we know stuff, to, oh, we're going to arrest him before he does what we think he might do?
Didn't they make a movie about that?
yeah, they basically, they had these people that could psychically understand people were going to do crimes before they did the crimes, I think. But then those people turned out to be wrong. Huh. So they were just...
I saw, when I was, about the Sydney stuff, there were cops walking around with drug dogs during the Mardi Gras parade, and they say that out of all the people that the drug dogs stopped, only 30% of them had drugs. So.
Yeah.
70% of them were getting unreasonably searched.
Those drug dogs are one of the biggest, like, first of all, dogs can be trained, but the way that, every time that they hit on something, they get positive feedback. Mm-hmm. So whenever you get your car stopped and the cops are like, well, we're going to get the canine unit, it's going to hit. I've known cops and they've told me that they've never once seen a drug dog not hit a car.
Really?
Because that's just what they, if you need to get a warrant to search something, you just bring a drug dog, because it's always going to say, you know. And now they will find the drugs if there actually are drugs, but also what constitutes a hit? They'll, like, sit down and point, you know, with their nose and say, okay, fine.
Yeah. Scruffy looked at the car, so we're going to search him at gunpoint.
We're going to drag you in.
You better not pop a pill or I'll shoot you.
Yeah. But you have that, you have the same thing with the search on the internet, is that there is no privacy in the first place. There's none of this, like, hey, you need to get a warrant stuff. It's just straight up, we know everything all the time.
Well, that's what the Patriot Act was about, is they could get the warrant after the fact, which is pretty much not having a warrant.
Don't you just love calling something the Patriot Act? Like,
well, it was to get the Patriots. I mean,
we got to get rid of the Patriots. It's like, okay, well, what about the Castle Doctrine? Have you ever heard of that? Don't you think that would apply to a broader sense? No, okay. But I think there's a lot to social engineering. I think people can get around a lot more than. No matter how good of a system you put out, people can social engineer their way through.
Well, I honestly don't even think that their system is all that good. I think it's like we just are too lazy to not elect to fall for it. Because
Well, there's also a monopoly on so much stuff. There is no phone company that I can think of that works.
No, there's not.
That doesn't track you. Because the government doesn't want that to be existing, and the companies that do that make too much money off of it.
They physically can't really make a phone system that doesn't have the capability, so at that point, why not?
I guess you could just use, like, I don't know, satellite phones, but those do too, so I don't...
I remember a story, people were finding... Like, they were kind of using this company as a private detective. It advertised being able to find your lost phone, and the way it worked is it somehow had access to the locations from the cell phone towers, and so it could triangulate where you were if you were within 2 or 3 cell phone towers range. And all you had to do was pay them money and tell them your phone number, and they would tell people where that phone was. And so people... People were just finding people that they had stuff against with this company. And sure, now they say that company doesn't exist, but, like, surely there's somebody still selling data. So
Yeah, there's still ways to get your hands on that stuff, whether it's above board or under board.
Yeah. Every time you pick up your phone and it moves, they know you're right there.
Yeah, there was a John Stossel, I believe it was John Stossel, thing where they put a phone on airplane mode and they had a transmission interceptor, and it was still sending stuff off, like, every few minutes.
I think it's 6 minutes. Every 6 minutes they, like, ping the thing to tell the police where you are, and the only time it doesn't work is if it's physically turned off.
Mm-hmm. But even then, they were showing that the phone turned off was still sending stuff. A lot of phones.
It must not be the local law enforcement, because...
No, a lot of this is just pinging off towers, and I don't know what the... A lot of phones now won't actually shut... Like, they won't run a battery completely dead. There'll still be some amount of emergency power. And so they'll keep transmitting, even though you think you turned it off. The only way to really stop it is put it in a lead-lined box.
Well, I've heard in different police reports how, like, they stop getting a signal once people turn the phone off. I guess they could be taking the battery out, but... I think they just turn it off and it stops sending signal.
That's only specific phones, too. There are still phones that you turn them off and they don't have any power.
Well, and, like, think about how many people's cars just ping people. There was a Volkswagen in Illinois pretty recently, I think. And they were... The police wanted to know where the Volkswagen was, and so they contacted Volkswagen where it is. And the Volkswagen company said... well, the subscription on the geolocation services is expired, but if you give me $125, I'll tell you. And so they gave him $125, and they told him.
That's wild. So you could just do... What if you could just do that to anybody? You just call Volkswagen, hey, I'll pay for their subscription.
I wonder how difficult it actually would be to spoof being a police station. And how many people actually, like, do that.
To be like, hey, this is Bill from the Lancaster County Police Department.
Well, if you've ever met a sheriff, they're not able to prove that they're a sheriff. How are they supposed to prove it over the phone?
Yeah, you just forge some documents and send it right through.
Yeah. And that doesn't just have to do with finding you. Like, they could probably go find all your social media posts if they just ask Facebook the right way.
Well, it's just like my truck has a, it has like a thing on it for, I have a small loan on it, so they could come find it if I ever don't pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I know that pings off all the time, basically wherever I drive it. And not only that, it's got the Cirrus XM with the, what is it called? OnStar?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that has a button that you press, and it just geolocates you.
I got a friend who works at Enterprise with the car rentals, and he I don't know if he's a manager or what, but he tells me that they have cars get stolen every once in a while, and they have all their cars have tracking devices on them. Or most of them do. I don't think all of them actually do. But there's these people who, I guess they're like Romanian hitmen, who will come in and they have driver's licenses that somehow pass their inspection scan, because they have a machine that tells you if it's a valid license. And they have licenses that pass inspection. They rent a car. Sometimes they either do a hit with it or they steal the car. And they've went and checked their geolocation, and their car was in South Africa. So
they take the car. Are they scrambling the signal, or are they actually putting the car on a boat?
They just put it on a boat and took it to South Africa, because you're not going to get it from there.
For a second, and this shows how dumb I am, I thought that they were taking the car to South Africa, doing a hit, and then coming back, like bringing it back, and then they plug into the car to look like, where does it say it's been?
No, South Africa. Two unrelated incidences, but they've been having a real problem with that. And like, it's not like you can just go get it just because they have the ping. Like, it's kind of the same problem with ankle bracelets. When you have an ankle monitor, you can just cut it off. Like, there's nothing stopping you. They didn't make it so that you have to take a grinder to your leg. All it does is send a warning. And the really weird thing about ankle monitors is the same thing happens if you forget to charge it. So mm-hmm. So most cops, unless you're like a weird high security risk, if you just cut your ankle monitor and run, like, I mean, there's going to be a warrant out for you for, you know, every state around. But it's not like they're going to show up at your door in 10 minutes.
I saw a video of a guy cutting off his ankle monitor with, I think it was a grinder. It was like one of those little tiny ones, one of those a Dremel. He was using a Dremel to cut it off.
I mean, there could be different qualities, but I know the one.
But he was streaming it on Facebook Live while he did it, and not only that, but he got his house number and his kid in the video.
It's like, how many rappers have gotten arrested for being a felon in possession of a weapon on their music video?
Yeah. That's the stupid. And then they sit there and rap about everything they've done. Like, what's this? Tekashi 6ix9ine actually was like, or is it Bobby Shmurda? Like, some of these guys, like, actually killed people. And then they rap about actually killing people. And then they rat their whole gang out. And then they get off. They usually get away with it. Because they'll come to them and be like, they just rat all their friends out. And then they can never go back to where they're from. But.
Yeah. I think the cartel used to get some revengeance on those people. But
yeah. I don't think the cartel lets their people. I mean, there are cartel, like, singers and rappers and stuff, but I think they have to be smarter.
Yeah.
or they end up nice and dead. But, I mean, even the cartel will track stuff and track people. Not, this isn't cartel, but, like, I know guys who have air tags on everything they own.
Mm-hmm.
Just to the point, it's like every move, anything you make makes is being tracked now. But
have you seen those smart TVs that now have microphones in them?
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Alexas, and what is that vacuum that goes around selling your floor plan? Yeah, that thing.
Roomba. Yeah.
Roomba will sell your floor plan to somebody.
That's so crazy. You're like, oh, this robot vacuum that you would think is just bumping off the walls, right? It's just hitting a wall and then turning around and go to the next one is actually mapping your house.
Yeah. I guess it has to occasionally bump walls just to find out that it hasn't moved.
Yeah. Speaking of just, like, everything being mapped out, do you know how many of how many CyberLink drones we have up in, or not drones, satellites we have around the Earth?
Is that like 300? Is it thousands now?
3,005, last I heard.
I have got an app on my phone that you can, like, look at all the stars and you can see them. There's one of Elon Musk's satellites.
Yeah, and they're all around. They're in, like, strings, but they encompass the whole world. They're just, like, shooting around.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wacky. Like, at some point, it's just, and you look up in the night sky. Have you ever seen one fly over?
I didn't think you could see them with the naked eye.
Yeah, no, you could see them with naked eye. They're in, like, a string. They look like something that shouldn't exist. They're in a string of, like, really bright lights because they're reflecting off the sun. I think they're solar powered, but I don't know why they're reflecting off the sun. And they'll fly over you in a string, and they'll go all the way across the sky, and you can see them the whole time.
I guess you can only first see them then when it's like a full moon.
I don't think so, but maybe. Yeah, maybe. But you'll see them going overhead, and it's just wild. And I didn't know how many there were or, like, what all was going on, but there's, to my knowledge, if I'm correct, there's 3,005.
It could be that many. There's always like four or five over you.
And that's just him. And that's it. All the other, you know, satellites. They said a Russian one blew up.
Well, didn't SpaceX make a whole lot of their money just launching military satellites?
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of what SpaceX does is just military contracts for that kind of stuff. But anybody who's that rich has to be doing something for the military.
Yeah.
But I always think it's interesting. I mean, this is completely, that someone could get, like, a four-pack of Apple AirTags for $99 at Walmart and then just stick them in random people's cars and figure out your whole, like, schedule, commute, everything.
Yeah. Oh, man, you just gave the internet an idea. Yes.
I'm sure that's not that hard to think of.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, if you think about it, you could just have your car parked on the street And some wackadoo decides he likes it, so he sticks an AirTag up underneath your car in one of those little key boxes or something. Next thing you know, he knows where you live, he's watching your patterns, seeing where you park, and then, you know, he can do whatever he wants with that information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not like he can't just... Like, he doesn't have to get in your car to do it. He can just put it on the bottom of the car.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's smaller ones than the AirTag. The AirTag's just super accessible to people. And, you know, like, some of that stuff, you're like, that's expensive. But I think for a single AirTag, they charge about 30-something bucks. And it's...
Is that like a monthly subscription?
I don't think so. I think you just have it and use it. There might be a monthly subscription, but I think that it just works. You just buy it, and if you've got an Apple phone, it works. But I may be wrong, but that's really, really cheap for being able to track something anywhere.
Even if it was a subscription, like...
Yeah. I have to look up and see how the AirTag works. I've never wanted one. AirTag. I looked it up, and the first thing that came up is AirTag Hidden Tracker, how to tie AirTag so that it cannot be found.
When you click that link, now Google knows what you're up to.
No, I'm not clicking that link for sure. I'm going to click the Walmart link. It seems like you just buy it and it just works. We don't really do that or track stuff, and I don't really want any of my stuff. I'd rather lose my keys than have an AirTag on them all the time.
Yeah.
Not that everything else isn't tracking me. It's like, well, I carry a phone around, so it's already been done.
It's crazy how many people, like, do this to their kids. And so they'll just give a phone to their kids, and then their kids will be listened to, and, like, Facebook's generating their algorithm to characterize your kid.
Yeah. It's like, you're not old enough to, like, give consent or to be, you know, do any of this stuff, but we're gonna start feeding you an algorithm, not to make you feel better, not for what you like, but what we know will most enrage you, most, like...
Will sell most best, get really. Hold of you.
Yeah, what will sell best, you know?
Well, and like, even... So, like I said at the beginning, I use Google because it gives you the best results, but Elon Musk has been showing you that Google and Twitter and all these things have been giving you selective results so that you believe what they want you to believe.
Yeah. Did you see he was getting a lot of flack because he has his own algorithm so that people see his tweets more?
Oh, is that how he's doing it?
Yeah, at Twitter. Which I really don't see the problem with it. It's his house, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
Twitter is his company. I know when...
He spent $40 billion so you could listen to his tweets.
What was the original MySpace? Like, the MySpace guy, he was your first friend when you joined MySpace.
Did he just MySpace want to have the most friends?
Well, I think it was just like one of those things that it was his thing. So when you join his thing, you become friends with him and you see whatever he's talking about or sees, you know? But I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny. The story I had heard was that he brought like all these people into his office and he was like, there's something wrong with Twitter. My tweets aren't reaching as many people. And this one data analyst comes in, and like I said, this could just be a Reddit story. Don't put any stock behind this. This one analyst, and it shows like, well, this shows that you're just not as popular anymore. Public opinion is turned against you, which is true. I mean, a lot of the news media and stuff has been really slandering him.
Well, when he first took over Twitter, like, what percentage of the people were just bots? It was
right.
Like, was routine for the first few months when he took over. The people were just like, I lost 100,000 followers in, like, 2 weeks. It's like, yeah, they were all robots.
Yep, they weren't real. And so, but the analyst came in and was like, well, you're not as popular anymore, and that's why your tweets aren't doing as good. And so they fired him, and he got somebody who built him his own algorithm.
Nice. That's such a Donald Trump move.
Yeah, it is.
I remember when, I guess it was with Biden's speeches, I saw somebody who took, like, screenshots of the number of likes that he had on YouTube. And mm-hmm. they'd go up and then they'd go back down. And they'd go up and go back down. Because YouTube was limiting how many, or it was dislikes. Or can you dislike a YouTube?
Yeah, I think it was. But now they no longer show dislikes anymore. After that, they just totally shut off likes, dislikes. So now you can't see the dislikes. So
it
a lot of
like
videos
adds
you
into
see.
The algorithm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you hit a button, either way, YouTube's going to recommend it to people because, oh, it's inflammatory now.
Yeah. Well, the dislikes was a way to just stay away from stuff for a long time. Like, I thought dislikes were genuinely helpful. If you're going to have a like-dislike system, you got to be able to see the dislikes because you could actually go, like, okay, well, this has a bunch of likes, but there's a whole bunch of dislikes. Let me check the comments real quick. Oh, he doesn't explain this correctly. Let me go to a different video. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's lying here. This product is not what he's claiming to be. Now, that whole idea and that whole system of having likes and dislikes makes no sense. You either just get rid of it or you let the system run as it's intended.
Yeah, I really like being able to read the comments on the YouTube videos.
Yeah. Speaking of being like Donald Trump, do you know who Chael Sonnen is?
No.
He's a UFC fighter, very inflammatory person. He's on probation when he was a UFC fighter for robbing banks. And he claims that he knows the Unabomber, like, personally.
That's fair.
he could say it now that because the Unabomber's dead. But that was one of the things, is the Unabomber, back then, he jumped out of a plane, moved a town away from where he was from, and never got caught. Because there was no tracking of that stuff. Like, he took a plane, he took a bomb on a plane, which may or may not have been real, had them deliver, what was it, $600,000 or $200,000, took the plane back off, jumped out of the plane over the forest, parachuted to safety, and was never caught.
Yeah.
And there was no good way to catch him. And, I mean, it's not like he hurt anybody, so, I mean, it's not like it was that big of a deal, but nowadays,
it was a bunch of, like, kindergarteners or elementary schoolers in California that got kidnapped by a couple of teenage guys.
I haven't heard that story.
Well, they hijacked a school bus, and they took them off into the desert, and they had built this bunker out of, I want to say, like, storage compartments. And they stuck all the kids there, and they were going to try and get ransom money out of it. And the bus driver managed to stack a bunch of beds on top of each other and lift the lid of the bunker off and got all the kids out. And those guys, I don't remember how they got caught. Like maybe one of them confessed or something. Like, there was no tracking them. Like, the cops knew no, they didn't know where the bunker was. If it weren't for the bus driver to save them, they might not have been rescued. I mean, the kidnappers didn't really seem like they were gonna kill the kids, but I don't know, those guys got caught, and so of course you wouldn't say you're gonna kill the kids in the end.
Yeah.
And those people, they went to prison for a little bit, but they're out and about now. So.
Well, it's like nowadays, if you try to do anything, like say that DB Cooper guy, the plane would have been pinging, and they would have figured out exactly where he jumped out. All his phone calls would have been registered. Like, if he had anything with him, it would have been going off. There would have been facial recognition at the airport. Like, it's such a different world we live in now. Which, I guess, like I said, they talk about these, what they call high surveillance societies, like Saudi Arabia, where there are, like, street cameras every couple miles or less, and everything's on camera. Everything goes to your social credit system on your phone. Everything works the same way. And they're like, well, nobody can take advantage of anybody because it's all the government, except for the government.
The government can take advantage of everybody.
Yeah, the government has a complete access to everybody, and somebody up in a high position could totally ruin everything for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially systems like that. Like, you can just ruin somebody with the click of a button. So.
Mm-hmm. So basically, technology's bad. We should stay away from it.
Yeah. Hey, get yourself a shovel, dig a hole, live in it.
Yeah. I do have this dream of getting married and, you know, just like going to my farm and just me and my wife and my kids and some friends, and I have maybe a flip phone, and I just don't have any, like,
yeah.
But how well can you survive even doing that lifestyle now with that? I mean, I think it's doable. It might be the way to go.
Yeah,
I think that a lot of technology is good to adopt, but if it comes along with such evils, then maybe it's not. Like, video technology is amazing. The fact that we can take a camera and go take a video of your grandparents before they're gone. Like, there is one voice recording I have that's known of one of my grandfathers, and it's the answering machine. And that's the only mark on history for, like, vocally. There's no videos of him. There's no like recordings of his voice.
They got pictures of him.
And that's my other grandpa. No recordings of his voice at all. No videos of him. And these are people that have died, you know, in the last 10, 15 years. You know, not way, way, way back in time. So like a video camera and that kind of stuff is extremely good. But then if we were uploading it all to facial recognition software that could then figure out their kids to be locked in concentration camps or whatever, then maybe not so good.
Yeah.
Or whatever else, whatever tracking and...
I think probably the most important thing is to, like, be aware of it and care. And stop being so, like, complicit and just not caring. Because your apathy is not helping.
But also, what does caring do? I mean, there's certain things that you can do, like say, okay, well, I'm not going to go with this particular server because it does takes more of my data. But the problem is everything's taking your data, and there's not really a good way to access things.
Yeah, I mean, you could go make friends in person.
Yeah.
I find a lot of modern problems, like, we didn't have them before all of this, and you could still live like that if you wanted to. And maybe we should just want to.
You may be right.
Because I can't really say that all the information I've given to Google or whoever has done me much good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I won't know how to do this. And then I meet an old person who knows how to, like, fix everything on his car, and I'm like, huh, that guy, I don't think he could navigate YouTube, but he knows how to do that.
The problem is that the last generation didn't pass on their knowledge, or the one before that, depending on how your family shook out. But
yeah,
one of the reasons that we're so dependent on that is that we didn't have Grandpa teach us all how to rebuild a car from scratch, because Grandpa didn't know how to do it, or Dad didn't, and it's just there's somewhere in the line where it fell apart. And not only that, every other time in history, you would go to the local blacksmith or a carpenter or something, and you go learn a trade. Everything's exported. So now you have to learn. You either have to go to college and try to learn something there, but even most of that, you know, I was sitting around with some college kids tonight, and their biggest complaint was that they all had to geolocate with Duo and then log in. So there's a thing. It's called Duo. When you get to the classroom, you have to click a button on your phone to log into the computer, and what it does is it makes sure through your phone's location service that you're in the classroom when you click the button.
Yeah, they could spoof it, I guess.
I guess you could, but like that's...
Did you see how they spoofed the location on Pokemon Go? Well, with Pokemon Go, you could catch Pokemon, but, like, there were certain kinds you had to be in, like, certain continents to catch. And so if you wanted to get the cool ones, you had to be in New Zealand or wherever. And so people would just, like, spoof their phone to make it say they were in New Zealand.
Huh.
You remember that was a thing? People walking around with their phones out trying to catch Pokemon?
Yeah.
That's the goofiest stuff.
I know, there's still, every once in a while, I'll run into someone who still plays it. And those are always interesting to me, because you're like, that game has so little reach now compared to what it did.
Yeah.
How do you go through such a a level of failure. And if you have a high-end game, you know that's coming. Like, who plays Angry Birds anymore?
Yeah. I guess there's probably some elementary schoolers.
Yeah. I don't even think the original Angry Birds exists. I think all the other ones, like Angry Birds... I don't know if you ever played them, but there was like an Angry Birds Seasons and an Angry Birds Star Wars and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think they all exist, but I think original Angry Birds does not.
You remember that game that it was about pipes?
Flappy Bird?
Yeah, Flappy Bird. You remember when those...
If you downloaded it, then
your phone was worth, like, I don't know, whatever it was, 4 times what it normally would be.
Because it was no longer in the App Store?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's back now, isn't it? Or at least there's spoofs of it.
There's probably spoofs of it. It wasn't the complaint that the pipes looked too much like Mario?
I think so.
Take it off the App Store. There's a precision shooting app called Strelok Pro, and I heard last week they might be taking it off the App Store because apparently the Russian forces are using it because the guy who developed the app was named Igor. And so, naturally, the Russians need to use the name of it? Strelok Pro.
And what's it for?
It's long-range shooting, precision shooting.
Oh, okay. And so the Russians might be using it because Igor.
Well, no first world military is using a phone app in their front lines. But, I mean, I could see them, like, borrowing their ballistic calculator for comparison, but even that... I'm sure the Russians already made a good ballistic calculator that...
I always think it's funny when...
I think we're just profiling the designer because he's Russian. But
yeah. I always think it's funny people be like, I'm super ready for whenever we have whatever Boogaloo or whatever.
The electric Boogaloo!
I can do all this stuff and they're doing it all on their phone.
You're
like, you know... That's going to go real bad for you when you just get drone struck.
Well, yeah, and so they say get a Kestrel, but then the Kestrel has the geolocation, so you're like, huh.
Yeah. There's got to be something, like just a range finder.
Dope carts. Just get a dope cart, yeah.
I guess you could get a range finder and then one of those, like one of those slide charts.
Yeah, you don't really need a calculator once you have a developed load, but I guess we're getting too far off on a tangent here.
That's true. But, I mean, it's kind of still the same thing, where it's like you have these people that are studying for this thing, and you're using a geolocator.
That's true. Like, the amount that in Ukraine this kind of surveillance has been used, like, you post on TikTok or whatever where your military group is, the other side finds out immediately.
And they carpet bomb it. Or
send
missiles towards it or whatever.
You get on the radio and start saying super sneaky sniper stuff, and you instantly get shot.
Well, the moral of today's story is don't use technology ever. Go into the woods and don't come back out.
But there are no more woods.
Yeah, that's true.
There are, but Canada monitors their woods, so...
Yeah, you can't really hide in them.
They might not do anything, but they know you're there.
There's probably places in South America where they would just think you were a native. And you would have to hide from the actual natives.
So they don't eat your brains or...
Yeah. But you could probably walk into some forest in South America and go undetected for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You also just wouldn't be worth getting at a certain point.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a big part of it.
I always wonder, technology-wise, that if you show up on Alaska... Or not Alaska. If you show up on Antarctica, I've heard that they just shoot you.
Who does?
All the military bases scientific bases.
Show up with your boat there?
Yeah, if you and I just got a boat and showed up to Alaska, you're not allowed to do that.
All right.
Which is...
Is that what happened to the Titanic?
That's the wrong pole completely. But I don't know. I don't know if you've ever looked into it, but the people that that went to see, like, so the Nazis had a base there in World War II, and then they sent a group of explorers after World War II to, like, figure out what the base was, and when they got back, they all got, like, medals of honors and, like, honorably discharged and told never to speak of it again. And then, and, like, all these different countries in NATO and, like, these different groups have built bases in I think the Russians have bases in down there, too. And civilians are not allowed unless you're, like, registered with one of the bases.
It's aliens.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because there's, I think there's natural resources underneath the ice. There might be oil or whatever. But I think it's just because it's considered nobody has claim to it, so they don't want anybody going there. Hmm. But
I don't really feel like that's how nobody has claim to it works.
No. But I wonder if you had your phone on and you just started sailing towards Alaska, if you saw all of a sudden you would just get stopped. like if you were just, you know, with a, just had a boat with, you know, your normal GPS and a phone, and you just start sailing towards Alaska, if that doesn't, like, send off some radar. With as much surveillance as we already have.
Your GPS starts lying to you, and your goats start going the other direction.
You just keep ending up where you started over and over.
And you go and tell it to the internet, and nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody believes you. You know what it really is, man? It's because we have a flat earth. And that's the corner of the flat earth. And if you go past there, you'll fall off.
So they have to shoot you before you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the earth is a cube, and mountains are the corners.
Oh, okay. I thought we were just on the back of a big turtle.
No, that's hippie shit.
Isn't there a religion that believes that?
Isn't it the Native Americans?
I think so.
Yeah.
We're just, like, on the back of a big tortoise. That's a nice thought, I guess, compared to some of the others.
Yeah.
We're basically lice. We're just on the back of this giant turtle. But, yeah, I can't say that I know too much about the surveillance. I know more than the average person, but I don't know enough to avoid it. And I'm also too beholden to everything to just completely go away from
it. Well, I really think that it's simpler than, like, the CIA makes it out to be, because while they have technology to do more, they can't implement it on a large scale. So you know where the microphones are, you know where the cameras are. They're not going to be recording your voice from outer space.
Not yet, anyway.
They're never gonna do. I mean, I guess maybe one day they'll come up with, like, a laser microphone,
which they have those, but
not outer space good. But
no, not outer space good. But I mean, the weird thing is, if they decide to focus on just you, they can send all those resources your way.
Yeah.
So if you get unjustly profiled, I remember reading about this author that started, like, towards the end of his life. They're like, he was going crazy and saying that the FBI was in his walls, and that, or the CIA was in his walls, and that they were monitoring everything because he'd spoken out against the U.S. government and everything. And then, years and years and years after he died, documents got declassified that they had agents that were literally, like, in his attic, installing stuff in his walls, sneaking around. And so for 30 years or whatever, I'm making that 30 years number up. For however long, people were like, oh, he just went crazy in his old age.
At least they didn't kill him, I guess.
I guess. Do we know that he died of natural causes? I mean, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But that was like that judge that they always talk about, the Catholic judge that died with, like, his pillow on his head or whatever.
Scalia.
I've heard that. Yeah, Scalia. They're like, he died in his clothes on top of his bed without, like, anything rolled down, with a pillow over his head.
Of suffocation.
That's like, there's a good chance he's an old guy. He could have died of natural causes. There's also a great chance that he died because they wanted to replace him.
Yeah. And they were unsuccessful, but he did die before Trump took office.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like I said, it could be one or the other, and there's no way for us to know. And that's why you get back into the rabbit holes of trying to research this stuff. And it's like, well, at the end of the day, even if I do know, it doesn't change that much.
Wasn't Scalia also, I think his, like, death certificate was issued from a person who never saw the, like, it was issued before they even got to the crime scene of natural cause. There was some suspicious stuff going on there.
I've heard some stuff like that, but I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
Now, what do you think about JFK, though?
I think that there was probably another shooter.
I don't really think there was, but...
I don't know. Looking at how the bullet traveled and looking at where they shoot from, it just doesn't seem like it's super obvious. And
bullets just don't fly, like, super straight once they hit something.
Yeah, but they also don't maintain the amount of velocity needed to do what they said that one did, and not deform. If you've seen the pictures they have of the bullet, where it's basically in the same shape that it came out of the gun.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and it's supposed to have, like, gone through somebody's head, and then bounced off somebody else, and, like, because there's the one bullet theory.
Well, I heard that, like, the ammo that we compare it to now, it was kind of a strange caliber. The ammo that we compare it to now isn't really a fair comparison to what they had then.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying for sure that there was one way or the other, because it doesn't affect...
I don't really see why you would need two shooters, so I don't buy that argument.
You don't really see what?
Why they would need two shooters.
See, for me, it seems that whether he did it or not, it's not that big of a deal. It's what was going on at the time, and the fact that he was trying to take away funding from those organizations that are possibly did it, and that he had said that they were a threat. He'd said that he was going to get to the bottom of stuff. We had the failed Bay of Pigs invasion. We had all these different scenarios where they would want him gone. And it seems that there seems to be some evidence that they just took him out and put Lyndon Johnson in and said, you do what we say. And that's what he did. I don't really think it has anything to do with the shooter on the knoll, or if the shooter in the building, or whatever else. I think that it's more motive on the side of the CIA and other government organizations that would have had involvement,
or even extra government organizations.
Yeah, it could have been extra governmental organizations and covered up.
I don't think it was. No, I don't really think anybody really thinks it was a lone shooter, because wasn't the guy just killed in custody right afterwards?
I don't know.
That's what I think happened.
I used to know.
Yeah.
But Lee Harvey Oswald was also, like, even if he did it, he was probably just brainwashed into doing it. There's all sorts of stuff where you can find where he had weird contacts with people, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not to mention the driver broke protocol on the drive, mm-hmm. and there was all sorts of other stuff there that just don't really add up. But like I said, it could have been. There's always the chance that we're the ones that are conspiracy theorists, and there is no evidence to the contrary, and that's just how it happened. Lee Harvey Oswald was mad, so he shot the president in the head. It just seems like it's not the most plausible thing. Well, is there anything else we want to talk about technology? You're kind of all over the map on that one, but
I guess we could go into a little bit, like, how to encrypt things and things like that.
Well, where do you get started?
Well, there's a lot of open source encryption algorithms out there, and I guess the beauty of it is you can use more than one. And so you can get... You're probably going to have to learn how to program to some extent, or you're going to have to trust somebody else who does, and trusting somebody else always leaves you that amount of, you know, uncertainty. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you just look up on the internet, OpenSSL, how to use encryption, you'll probably learn something and be able to, because it's not like it's complicated programming. You don't have to come up with an algorithm. You just have to implement it a couple times. And probably just doing one open source algorithms enough, but you can use multiple if you want in different encryption algorithms, and it doesn't really add all that much bulk or time to the mm-hmm. encryption. And then usually you encrypt a file, and then you have to send it to somebody else who also knows how to encrypt stuff. Which, that's the tricky part, is getting your friends to do it, because nobody else wants to do it. We all want to use Gmail and wonder why. And there's some email services like Tutanota that promise to give you end-to-end encryption, but at the same time, if you're just sending a Tutanota email to Gmail, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I don't really trust Proton Mail, but that's another one people recommend. And I don't trust it because you couldn't... At the time I tried, you couldn't make an email address through Tor, which... Tor is like a... It's supposed to anonymize your internet traffic by sending it through a series of CIA servers. Mm-hmm. And so the CIA knows who you are, but nobody else does. And as it is, your internet traffic goes to your internet service provider, so it's Verizon or whoever. And they know everything that you want to... Everything you search. Every computer mm-hmm. server you visit. And they log all that. And some of it's encrypted. You know when they have that little green padlock at the top of your screen and they say, this stuff is secure. No, it's not. That means that a third party verified it as being secure. But that third party, there's like 600 different third parties that could verify it. So
they just have to get verified by one.
They just have to get verified by one. That's it. And that was a big thing. The police had gotten a way around, like, spoofing these sites by getting a different third party to verify them. And so you can go and check who's verifying it, and if it stays consistent, then you know. But at the same time, you'd have to keep track of every website you visit that you give sensitive information to. And they could change it on you without telling you, because unless you're in the in, you don't really know. So, I mean, it's better than not having it, I guess, because that's the thing. It's like you can, when you're just using a normal HTTP website going through your internet service provider, anybody in the middle of that connection can see everything you're doing. And then when it's, and like this website, CatholicUnapologetics.com, it's HTTP, and guess what? They already know. If I encrypted it, it doesn't matter. They know that you're watching Catholic Unapologetic podcasts or using the resources page. And mm-hmm. so, and they could figure that out from the encryption too. Even if it was encrypted, they wouldn't know necessarily which video you're watching, but they'll know you're watching a video. And particularly, like, there's no point of me encrypting this because they can see it too. But like, it's on websites where you have sensitive information. Like, you could say credit cards, but there's more sensitive stuff than just your credit card.
mm-hmm. And you basically, I don't know. When you talk about different emails that might be encrypted, I have trouble actually trusting them, because it seems like every time one of those comes up, it ends up as a data breach.
Well, the thing about Tutanota is it would let you create email addresses through Tor. And so, to me... If you created an email address through Tor from an anonymous location, you've created an anonymous email, and you could send it to whoever, so long as you don't give up personal information in your email that can identify you later. Like, I had a guy in the FBI talk to me about his job was to track down child pornographers. And this was back in 2017, probably. And in 2017, I think he was telling the truth. He said that when they're using Tor, the FBI couldn't just geolocate you and catch you. I think there was one case in Australia, maybe, where they actually did catch a guy. But for the most part, mm-hmm. they couldn't, because there's enough Tor servers operated by people other than the FBI that they can't reliably catch him. And so they would try and catch these guys with old-fashioned detective work by, like, he gave the example of, the guy would say, it's raining today. and they would look up every place in the United States, because they thought they were in the United States, every place in the United States where it was raining, and narrow down the list. And then he said, I went to the state fair, or the county fair, and they found all 10,000 counties in the U.S. that had a county fair that day. And that's how they had to do it with these people. And so, yeah, while they might be trying to sell your information, there's only so much you can sell at that point.
Yeah. It just seems interesting with the government basically propping up Tor through federal funding, that there's got to be something there that we don't understand with how much they're getting out of it.
Well, I think they probably use it for intelligence and not for prosecution as much.
Okay.
Yeah. And because it's weird how our government's organized. It's not... You got different branches doing different things. And they don't tell each other about it, so... I mean, this is all just speculation.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's not the most... Writing an email to somebody is not the most secure way to talk to them. I mean, if you want to be secure, you make a one-time pad and you send it to them. You give them this password manually, and then you send them it.
What do you do about your access point to the internet? Is that because you're always going to, if you're at home, you're going to be running through your own Wi-Fi. You're going to be using your own internet connection. So they're going to be able to get something just right there. Is there a way to circumvent?
I guess you can use proxy servers, but if they can monitor your internet connection, why can't they monitor the proxy servers?
That's fair.
So
I guess what you gotta do is use McDonald's free Wi-Fi.
That was the point of Tor, is that you have three proxy servers where the first one, you encrypt who they're sending it to. So you send an encrypted message to the first one, they decode it, and they're told send it to the second guy. And then the second guy gets it and sends it to a third guy, and then he sends it to the... And so the first guy doesn't know who the second... He knows who the second guy is, but he doesn't know who the third guy is. And the second guy knows, I guess he knows who the first guy and the third guy are, but he doesn't know who you or the outside website is.
It's just that, I guess whenever you log on to your internet at your house and you boot up something through Tor, it's immediately going to send a red flag. And
it would if not very many people are using it. But I got the suspicion that there's more than you'd think that actually use it for some things. Like, I bet there's enough, like, 15-year-olds out there using Tor to watch porn so that their parents don't know that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. Like, I don't really associate Tor with just illegal activity, because while it's a part of the dark web, I feel like there's more reasons than illegal activity to not want to give your internet service provider everything.
Right. Just what really is a motivator to make sure that people do it? And it's enough. It's enough of a motivator. It's enough.
Like
of
I think
a red flag.
China has its great firewall, and so they have these ways of, you have to set up a private server for yourself, and then you can encrypt your Tor traffic to make it look like it's going to your private server, and then the Chinese government has a really hard time stopping that because it just looks like normal encrypted flow of stuff.
It's funny, this is one of those things where I am very technologically illiterate. I have a knowledge that I'm being spied on, and I kind of have done this before, but it would take so much for me to get up to snuff for, I guess, to just run things like I should. I almost need like a college crash course and how they get all this stuff running.
Yeah.
To just better protect myself.
Well, that's the problem, is like, it's impossible to do it by yourself. You can't just have encrypted conversations with yourself. Just think, you know?
Yeah.
You have to be talking to somebody who wants to play along. And that's the biggest limitation in why they're so successful at spying on us. Because we have encryption methods so much better than the Nazis did. But the Nazis used their encryption, and so we couldn't hack them for most of the war. Mm-hmm. And we don't use our encryption, even though it takes less effort. I mean, we don't have as much secrets as the Nazis had, so there's a reason we spend less effort on it. But it wouldn't be hard to do it.
Well, there's your call to action for the video. Start using encryption. Stop stop doing the easy way and start using encryption, especially when you need it.
Yeah, there's a pretty interesting thing that it's called steganography, and it's where you hide a secret message in something that looks innocuous. Like in certain wars, they would use it in the newspaper to signal to their spies something or other, where they'd like take the first letter of every word and it would spell out something. And that's like a bad example, because I'm sure there's algorithms that go through and do that. But like, they've done things with pictures that have a kind of an inherent randomness to it. And then you encrypt a body of text, say, and that body of text now has its own kind of inherent randomness. And then you change the least significant pixel, the least significant bit on every pixel of the image.
I was looking into the where they were taking the binary for like encoding whole books into a single math problem. So instead of having like the whole binary spelled out, instead you just get the math problem and then you have a code that would just solve the math problem and then give you the text.
That's pretty cool. I don't know how well that would work.
Well, I was looking into it because there's guys.
You'd think it would have to be a really big math problem, because like, I don't really know how you'd go about doing that.
Well, they're trying to get it to the smallest possible. So, basically, if a book is 10111100, and you're just on to whatever how long ever you need it for the book, then you could take that and you could divide it by some or whatever and make it as small as you can. And then say this times this times this times this, or this times this, depending on how.
It would work well if it's easily factorable, but I would think that'd be pretty limited in scope.
Well, and they're using I guess encryption, and maybe that's the right word, to make it factorable.
That's
so they will like encrypt it into a factorable way to where the codes will be able to open it back up. But they were also looking into it as a way of storing information for like future generations. Because if you could put down, they're basically saying that the binary would be easy enough for people to figure out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you left behind just like a plate of something that was non-corrosive with that chiseled into it, that they would be able to. Somebody would work out the problem and then realize that the problem turned into this binary code that turned into some language.
That sounds like a cool movie right there.
This is just people messing around with stuff, but it actually, to me, is super interesting. I like the idea. It's also a storage thing. So there's the other aspect of storage. If you can make it to where stuff can be stored, I mean, that's the ultimate compression, is to just make it into one tiny little equation that can then be worked out by the computer and then brought back to service without having to ever store it.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of efficiencies they can get out of that.
I don't know. It's something I'd like to look more into. But
I feel like if it was just like straight English text, you know, there's only like a million words in the English language, and you could just assign each of those to a number based on the frequency that the word is. Mm-hmm. And then make it quite a bit smaller, but
I think somebody put a little more effort into it and like help the people who are doing it could really take it to the next level. Like they just adding like ideas like you just had right there could take this from being something that people are talking about in little internet forums to this is the way we do everything now.
Yeah, I remember it was quite a few years ago they came out with this way of, I think it was etching glass, and they could make it like reflect five different colors. And so instead of having binary storage, they would have storage in base 5, which makes it a lot more compact. And then they could like, I think they could change the color of like every molecule in this little glass thing. And so they could store like the whole internet on like a cubic inch. But writing it took too long, I think, and reading it was too expensive, so it never took off.
But you had the ability to store this extreme amount of information, which is really impressive.
It just wasn't cheap enough to do, and it was cheaper to do it the normal way.
I think we've already talked about this before, but have you seen the Minecraft worlds where they have forbidden books on them?
Yeah, you've told me about them. I haven't seen them.
Yeah. There's so many ways that, like, you ban things. People are going to find some way to try to get around it, whether it's, like, the most high-end encryption in the world or a Minecraft server.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the guys who designed the internet did a pretty good job just incorporating encryption, even though they've rendered it kind of useless, like, with man-in-the-middle attacks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But because encryption is so commonplace, you can have something like a Minecraft server that nobody's going to expect to have top-secret CIA classified documents on in a little book. And so...
Yeah.
You just got to be in the know.
Yeah. It's hard to be in the know.
Yeah, it is.